Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon. And on today's show, we're going to talk about a couple different things. But before I get started, I wanted to thank Radio Free Redoubt for mentioning our show. I know a lot of people that are listening right now found out about us through that. And I've been listening to John Jacob's show for at least 2 years. It's an outstanding show. In fact, I think it's maybe three because, for 3 years, I've been listening to that show almost as long as it's been on. And I know I've probably gone back and listened to all the others, but it's an outstanding show. Highly recommend. If you like this one, I think you'd really enjoy that one as well. And basically, it's covering very similar things that we're dealing with. So the American Redoubt is this area of Idaho, parts of occupied Northern California, Washington, Oregon. And a lot of what we're going through as patriots here in Virginia, the patriots in Washington are and have been going through. So I think you'd really enjoy that show. So go ahead and check it out. But it's their website's radiofreeredoubt.com. That's R-E-D-O-U-B-T.com. Radio Free Readout. Looks like read out, but it's readout. Now, there's 50 different ways you could say it, I guess. But in any case, go check that out. I think you'd really like it. If you'd like to advertise with us and help me keep this show going, contact me at radiofreeva.com. There are ongoing expenses, whether it's the podcast hosting, the website hosting. And while I'm not doing this to make money, I wouldn't complain if I did. And where can you listen to Radio Free Virginia? Well, you can listen on Podbean. We finally settled on that. It was between that and Buzzsprout. And Podbean was the winner, probably getting 5 to 10 times more listens on Podbean. And I will also be aggregating to things like YouTube and Stitcher and all those through Podbean. But that's something I have to set up. I'll probably be doing that over the next couple weeks. And you can also listen on radiofreeva.com. And you can find us on Facebook. So I encourage you to please tell your friends about this show. So in today's show, what are we talking about? Well, we're going to talk about who's in the fight, some emails, some stupid news, so you want to start a militia, and mostly the show is going to be about SB 16. So let's get started. So who's in the fight? Well, we have, and here's the fight I'm talking about, the fight to protect your Second Amendment liberties. So specifically, that fight. There's lots of fights going on. There's lots of fights for your freedom. And I think that one fight, this fight, transitions across all the others. However, I'm specifically talking about the Second Amendment. So who's in the fight? Well, we have FUDs. And a FUD is a derogatory term for somebody who thinks that the Second Amendment's all about hunting. I mean, they want to protect their hunting heritage. We, those in the Second Amendment community, will call them FUDs. We have the self-defense guys and gals. Some of you are there. We also have shoot tyrants in the face guys. That's where I'm at. Now, I happen to have this view that if you're in the shoot tyrants in the face group, you pretty much support all the others. But if you're a FUD, you don't necessarily support the others, if you get what I'm saying here. So that's the three different groups you have in this fight. Now, the FUDs would get really mad about my statement, shoot tyrants in the face. Well, that's what the Second Amendment's for. The founding fathers of this country, those who wrote the Constitution, they didn't need permission to hunt. They didn't need permission to defend their lives. Even under King George, they had those rights. Those are natural rights. This is a no-brainer to the people back then. And so what we have is the Second Amendment comes along, and they write the Second Amendment out. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And so they put that in there. Well, why did they put that in there? It was to shoot tyrants in the face. They wanted to restrict government from ever attempting to turn you into a slave. Again, they had just fought to prevent this from happening to them. And they wanted to make sure that future generations would have the same freedom and liberty. and deterrence from a government becoming tyrannical. Now, I saw this really interesting meme the other day that said, we were more free under King George than we are today. And if you look at all the regulatory stuff, the taxes, the restrictions on your liberty, restrictions on your gun rights, we absolutely were more free under King George. Now, would it have stayed that way? No, but that's not the point. So when we talk about who's in the fight, can we all work together? Yes, I believe that we can. But I'm not going to not say shoot tyrants in the face. The self-defense guy or gal, it doesn't really care about me saying that so much. They just look at me and go, oh, you're one of those guys. And that's fine. We can work together. Can the FUD work with me? That's a tougher call. Can I work with him? Yes, to an extent, to the extent that I don't have to compromise or capitulate because of his viewpoint or her viewpoint that the Second Amendment is about hunting. So that's who's in the fight. Those are the three types of people. And you're going to fall in one of those camps. And, you know, I'm not a hunter. I just don't hunt. I would, but I don't. I'm a big proponent of self-defense, and I do carry, and I've got a concealed carry permit, and I carry pretty much everywhere. There's a saying that goes, you know, carrying a gun is meant to be comforting, not comfortable. And that's true. No matter what holster I've ever had, it's never really been comfortable. Although the Alien Gear holster I've got now is pretty close. All right, I'm going to move on to some emails here. And Robert K. writes, good afternoon. Writing from Tennessee to let you know that we are with you and praying for the Patriots of Virginia. So thank you, Robert. Really appreciate those encouraging words. There's been a couple other comments on Podbean that have been very similar, and I'd like to thank all of you for your encouragement. And this one's a little bit longer, but I wanted to respond because it was interesting. And so we'll go ahead and respond here. And this is from Friend of Dagny. Friend of Dagny writes, Hank, I like the idea of Radio Free Virginia very much. Good call. I'll be brief. Do understand that this email should be heard as if you and I were talking around a campfire, united in goal, with differing views and experience. We are allies, and perhaps eventually we will be friends. We are discussing thoughts to recover our stolen freedoms and perhaps even advance from there. My thoughts. It's imperative that you focus on team building and expansion. Many layers coherent make strong societies. It is unnecessary and destructive to, with one hand, diss your fellow patriots with their gains and growing momentum. As an older man, old soldier, and etc., the trust required among our various layers is being damaged because of your repeating the neo-Bolsheviks' talking points, stating that these 95 2A sanctuary resolutions are just a show of intent with no teeth, how useless they are, etc. They, the communist media, are saying that you are, knowingly or not, undercutting your fellow Virginians when you repeat it. Well, first of all, I don't believe I said this is just a show of intent. I probably was quoting some articles last week in last week's episode, which if you haven't listened to, go listen to that. Mentioning that that is the viewpoint of the left, and that, you know, the word useless, I definitely did not. You'd have to show me where I said that. Tell me on the exact minute, because they're not useless. In fact, I was quite positive about how amazing a job the VCDL has done. And, well, you can go hear what I said if you haven't heard that show. Here's why I'm concerned about what I heard from Radio Free Virginia today. Communism views all war as psychopolitical. Whether bullets, proposed bills, or broadcasts, their intent is to make resistance crumble, destroy the will to resist, or perhaps sway some to their side. I'm certain that you know this. Your comments to our sworn peace officers and citizens who have put our true names and hence careers and families on the line are heard as demeaning and divisive. The citizen tsunami, with our legitimate local governments taking the lead, has never been seen in recent history. And that's true. It hasn't been seen in recent history. I can't think of a time except maybe 2010 after Obama got elected and you saw the rise of the Tea Party when so many places, so millions of people showing up in the Capitol and other places, just a movement like that. But specifically, let me respond to his comment. My views on law enforcement. Any disdain I might project towards law enforcement officers is what society has turned them into, and that is, in a lot of ways, revenue generators for the state. I know that nobody got into law enforcement, did so in order to write tickets and make money for the state. I understand that. But that's what has become a large part of that job. And the bigger problem I have is with anyone, politician, cops, etc., that have special privileges. You want an SBR, a machine gun, grenade launcher, a suppressor, without any tax stamps, long waiting periods, and you get to take it home and keep it with you all the time and have fun with it and be a free person, then be a police officer. That's special privileges. Nobody that serves us should have access to the things I can't readily get, and certainly not at my expense. Yet you need to understand that it is the boys in blue or the feds in suits that will be the ones that throw the first patriots in jail because of these laws they're proposing, unless they, as they should, exercise selective enforcement, or better yet, quit. If and when these bad bills are passed, I don't know. My view is that shiny badges do not give you special rights. That said, I have an enormous amount of respect for the job that police officers do. It's hard, long hours, shifts that suck, people that suck, domestic abuse, suicides, drugs and drug overdoses. It's a tough job. And it's a tough job because society as a whole doesn't look at it with my viewpoint. They just hate cops. And that's not it at all for me. I've well thought out my viewpoint, and I don't hate police officers. Take that in the spirit of what I'm talking about. It's the special privilege that I don't like. It has nothing to do with the police officer. I mean, if you'd rather I said, unless you're a fed, because, you know, who doesn't love to hate the FBI? So I'll continue here. I strongly suggest that you choose to specifically build layer upon layer by adding your input to the layers brought by others. Don't strip things bare and begin again, and for goodness sake, we need your help to accelerate the momentum. Nehemiah did not tear the walls of Jerusalem down and start from bare dirt. No time for that. He and his former exiles built as fast as they could, then improved upon the old design after the city perimeter was secure. Sure, they bickered, but they did it as we should, quietly behind the walls, so that the enemies cannot exploit any perceived divisions. How firm a foundation, build on it, in cooperation with what you think is a better general improvement. Implement your own improvements, like Radio Free Virginia, and let's keep this moving. Well, I don't think I was tearing down any walls. I would encourage you to listen to last week's episode again and see the amazing job that has been done. I'm specifically speaking about these county resolutions. 5 more counties passed resolutions this week and brought that number up to 100. If by wanting these resolutions to be stronger and have more patriots stepping up and forming and joining militias is tearing it down, well, I can't help that. And then he says, praise in public, punish in private. Dagny says hi. Well, sorry, but I believe that stupid must be called out. I'll try to be selective when I can, but it's bad policy not getting called out that brought us the NFA, the National Firearms Act, and all the restrictions we now face and live under. It's the NRA willing to compromise. It's Republicans willing to compromise. It's anyone willing to compromise, and patriots not willing to call them out on it, that has us constantly backed into a corner, constantly redrawing this line in the sand that says no further. Okay, well, maybe a little further. And what you're seeing is a movement of patriots across Virginia that has finally said, enough, no more. And Dagny's great. Hi back. So thank you for your comments. Thank you for your email. I do hear you, and I am interested in what you have to say, and I will take some of this under advisement. But I cannot self-censor myself any more than I'm already forced to do on a daily basis on places like Facebook and other places. There's just things you're not allowed to say anymore. Things I'm not allowed to say. To the extent that's permissible and not going to put me in jail, I'm going to talk and I'm going to speak my mind. And but I do appreciate your comments. This is a shout out to JR from Guns and Gadgets. It's a YouTube channel. And this is from the Washington Post, an opinion piece. And this is a person in Virginia, obviously a communist, and an ignorant one at that. And it's so frustrating when you read these stupid things and these stupid comments that these leftists put out. They're so ignorant about how guns even work and the purpose of rights and liberty. But let me read this to you. The views of rural Virginians described on the November 24th front page article in Virginia, Gun Buffs Plan to Defy New Laws. I mean, the title of that is just ridiculous. Are that the gun control proposals expected to be introduced in the 2020 Virginia legislature will change their way of life, and that a law enforcement officer who believes a law to be unconstitutional may choose not to enforce it. Both assertions are dishonest and factually incorrect. Assume that the expected laws would limit the number of guns sold and the capacity of magazines and require registration and add a red flag law. I know some people grow up with rifles for hunting and handguns for protection, but semi-automatic weapons are not part of that way of life. What a bunch of nonsense. What a bunch of nonsense. I know plenty of people that hunt with semi-automatic shotguns, semi-automatic rifles, and with that used for protection, semi-automatic handguns. I happen to be one of them. This guy doesn't know anything. That technology did not exist when the Second Amendment was adopted. Yeah, and neither did this internet thing that you're sending this stupid letter to the newspaper with, or the printing press didn't exist to the extent that it exists. You know, fixed type they had back then. And you want to go back to that? That would limit your First Amendment rights. Indeed, rifling in the barrels of a gun to improve the distance and accuracy of a shot was not widespread. Hunting and self-defense do not require that level of lethality. As for registration, the Second Amendment begins with a well-regulated militia. If one was to be part of a militia with a gun, the authorities needed to know who owned what guns. Not true. None of that was true. And actually, let's look at the Second Amendment, what it specifically says. A well-regulated militia, being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. They're two separate parts that all mean the same thing. A well-regulated militia, being necessary for the security of a free state, or more properly worded, a state of freedom, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. And if it wasn't for the government doing everything they can to neuter the militia, and even in Virginia passing laws that would say, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't train with this way, and you can't train that way, then this wouldn't be a problem. So if you want me to have to join a militia, sign me up. Where do I sign up? Anybody? Anybody know where I can sign up for the local militia? Nonsense. Also, no law enforcement officer is given the right to determine what actions are or are not constitutional. Officers enforce the law. The lawyers for their jurisdictions may question those laws and challenge those laws in court, but they have no legal right not to enforce law validly existing on the books. The way of life argument is bogus and not supportive of obligations we as citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia owe to each other. David Yaffe, Arlington. Well, David, it's good to see that communism is still breeding idiots. Hunting and self-defense do not require such a high level of gun lethality. I thought the point of killing the deer was to kill it quickly. Should we not kill it quickly? Should we shoot it and make it suffer? How about the bad guy? Are we supposed to just sort of stop the threat? Guy's charging at you with knives. I only need to sort of stop him. Nope, you need to stop him. You end the threat. You shoot till the threat is eliminated. And here's the other thing. No law enforcement officer. He talks about law enforcement officers. That's exactly how they train. They train to end the threat. I see amazing restraint sometimes. Recently, a guy attempting suicide by cop. I saw a video of this guy, had a knife in his hand, and amazing amount of restraint by this police officer. Quite remarkable. Because I'd have shot this dude. I would have shot this guy in a second. Because, hey, I would much rather be shot than stabbed. Because I've seen the damage that knives do. No thank you. But, yeah. So, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But if you want to read what this bozo wrote, by all means, go to the show notes. All right, now we're going to talk about how to form a militia. There's a lot of talk right now about different militia ordinances and different things happening. The Tazewell. Virginia's such a funny place. You know, in California, you got a lot of places named different things, and quite a few of them are named with Spanish names. Salida, Modesto, things like that. And they mean what they say. Buena Vista? It's Buena Vista here. With Tazewell, is it Tazewell or is it Tazewell? Because it looks like Tazewell, but maybe it's Tazewell. Regardless, they've got a militia ordinance. So let's talk about how to do that. So the number one thing, build a group. Don't just grab guys that can fog a mirror. Hey, I need to get up to 10 guys. So, hey, you've got guns. Plenty of people have gotten themselves into big trouble by bringing in the wrong sort of people into their tribe. So it doesn't help anyone to let some fed informant rat into your tribe. Just take your time. Start with people you've known for a long time. The longer, the better. Maybe start with just 5 guys. And when I say guys, ladies are welcome too. And if you've ever done any instructing or teaching or shooting with, you'll know what I'm talking about. The ladies can shoot. And if they want to, highly recommend they be part of this. Number 2, get training. And what I mean by get training is not just go get training, but get to training. So you need to meet monthly or bi-monthly, and you need to get, lease, borrow some land that you can train on. And the training you should be doing, carbine, pistol, and small unit tactics. That's what you should start with. So for training, you can't all go to a school. Maybe you're a bunch of rich guys. Congratulations. Or just maybe you're just well off. Good for you. And you can all afford to go up to Max Velocity's Tactical School in West Virginia or over to Tennessee and go to Valor Ridge. Awesome. Do it. But if you can't, then somebody in your group's probably a better communicator than the others. He's probably, or she is probably, able to communicate a topic or training that they learned somewhere and teach it to the rest of you. You all chip in. Let's say the school is $600 and there's 6 of you. That's $100 a pop, including the person you're sending. It's really reasonable. And you send them off and you get them training, and then you have them teach you. I've got a link in the show notes to an article I found interesting. Now, I've been to Max Velocity Tactical. I've been to Practical Firearms Training. Both of those are in West Virginia. Rob Tackett used to be at Practical Firearms Training. He teaches here in Virginia now. Critical Carry Firearms, I believe, is his school. And he does training, carbine classes, pistol classes. He's great. Tac Strike, the steel target systems, which you'll see at a lot of ranges, that's actually a company he started. So he's a good guy. You could do an Appleseed if you just want to kind of do some basic stuff. There's carbine classes. There's stuff happening. There's training available, and you need to get some. All right? Now, expect to attract attention. Is if you get too big, you're going to attract attention. So my advice, don't get too big. You know, team up with you got a group over here and you know those guys. Hey, team up with them occasionally. Do a biannually or annually field training exercise with them and share knowledge. Maybe they're really med centric where they've got a lot of, TC3, tactical combat casualty care, and or they've got some EMTs and they could teach the med stuff, and you guys are really rifle centrics and you can do that. Maybe you got another group over here. There's big pistol guys, do competitions every month and they're high speed. Have them teach some pistol stuff. But that's your options. I would love to see a militia movement flourish in Virginia. And I think that now is a great opportunity we have. Now that we've got 100 counties have passed resolutions, let's go back to these counties and say, we've got an add-on we'd like you to put on this, and that's calling up the militia, and we'd like your endorsement of this. And then come up with a system to make that happen. So I think that would make it a certainty. But either, regardless, whatever you decide, build your tribe. Let's find out about some communists and how much they're lying dirty. Well, hear this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Herbert A. Philbrick.
What is communism? I've been on the inside of communism. I still have contacts. From this knowledge, I tell you as simply and seriously as I know how. Communism is a lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, as J. Edgar Hoover says, a criminal conspiracy. I'm choosing these words deliberately. And that's why I say they are lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, and it is not an American political party like any other. It's an outlawed organization, taking its orders and instructions from another government to do everything possible to destroy our government. It's an international criminal conspiracy.
That's right, it's an international criminal conspiracy. Unfortunately, it's right here at our doorstep. It's here in Virginia, and you're now behind enemy lines. We're going to talk now about SB 16. I'm going to touch a little bit on SB 14. There are some interesting parallels that I've discovered that you really need to hear about with this and California's assault weapons law that was passed in 99-2000. All right, it's very, very similar. So this is by Communist Richard Sasslaw, SB 16, and it says, importation, sale, possession, etc. of assault firearms prohibited, and the penalty. For the purpose of this section, assault firearm means a semi-automatic centerfire rifle that expels single or multiple projectiles by action of an explosion of combustible material with a fixed magazine capacity in excess of 10 rounds. Number two, a semi-automatic centerfire rifle that expels single or multiple projectiles by action of an explosion of a combustible material that has the ability to accept a detachable magazine and has one or more of the following characteristics: a folding or telescoping stock, a pistol grip that protrudes conspicuously beneath the action of the rifle, a thumb hole stock, a second hand grip or protruding grip that can be held by the non-trigger hand, a bayonet mount. Sorry, I gotta take a pause there. A bayonet mount. There's a lot of bayonettings happening in these things that they're supposedly trying to keep us safe from. You know, these active shooters. There's a guy walking around with a bayonet on his rifle. So that's a big problem, a bayonet mount. I will continue. A grenade launcher, a flare launcher, a silencer, a flash suppressor, a muzzle brake, a muzzle compensator, a threaded barrel capable of accepting a silencer, flash suppressor, muzzle brake, muzzle compensator, any characteristic of like kind as enumerated in clauses 1 through 12. That would be all the ones I just talked about. So if it sort of even looks like one of those things, it's banned. Now, I want to say something specific, because words have meaning and words are defined. It is not a silencer. It is a suppressor. You will not have a very accurate weapon system if it is actually silent. And even if it's silent, you're still going to hear the action cycling and the movement of the bolt carrier group back into the buffer tube and forward. Chambering another round is going to make noise. It is not silent. This isn't Hollywood where it goes p-doop, p-doop, p-doop. I wish it was like that. That'd be pretty cool. But that's not what it is. Moving on. A semi-automatic centerfire pistol that expels single, multiple projectiles, blah, blah, blah. Number four is a semi-automatic centerfire pistol. And then it talks about most of the things we just talked about, but for some reason, here's what it says. This is silly. A barrel shroud that is attached to or partially or completely encircles the barrel and that permits the shooter to hold the pistol with the non-trigger hand without being burned. A manufactured weight of 50 ounces or more when the pistol is unloaded. 50 ounces? Are you kidding me? Give me a break. Basically, then it lists all the things that you've previously heard. A shotgun with a revolving cylinder that expels single or multiple projectiles by action of explosion of a combustible material. I'm wondering if we can invent some rail guns here, if we'll bypass all of these rules, because it won't be using an explosion. A semi-automatic shotgun that expels single or multiple projectiles by action of an explosion of combustible material that has one of the following characteristics: a folding or telescoping stock, a thumb hole stock, a pistol grip, detachable magazine, a fixed magazine in excess of 7 rounds, a characteristics of like kind as enumerated in the previous sections. I might point out that it doesn't mention a tube magazine. So, hey, loophole for you guys. Assault firearm includes any part or combination of parts designed or intended to convert, modify, or otherwise alter a firearm into an assault firearm, or any combination of parts that may be readily assembled into an assault firearm. Assault firearm does not include a firearm that has been rendered permanently inoperable, an antique firearm, a curio or relic. This is very confusing, and this is problematic. You know, when you have a confusion in the law and it's not clear, then you have problems. Assault firearm includes any part or combination of parts designed or intended to convert, modify, or otherwise alter a firearm into an assault firearm. Is this saying I can't have replacement parts? Is this saying I can't have an upper for an AR where I could then build an AR? I don't quite know what this is saying, and that's a problem. You should know what the law says. They say, well, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Fine. But can you write this clearly instead of making it look like it was written by someone who's high, like they're from California or they're 12? Sorry, that's an insult to 12-year-olds. They're 5. It shall be unlawful for a person to import, sell, possess, or transfer the following firearms: the Striker 12, commonly called the Street Sweeper, or any semi-automatic folding stock shotgun of like kind with a spring tension drum magazine capable of holding 12 shotgun shells, manufacture, purchase, possess, transport, assault firearm. A violation of this section shall be punishable as a Class 6 felony. So you can't bring one in here, you can't sell it, you can't possess it, you can't transfer it. If you do, Class 6 felony. Any person who imports, sells, barters, or transfers any firearm magazine that is designed to hold more than 10 rounds of ammunition is guilty of a Class 1 misdemeanor. So, import, sell, barter, or transfer. Class 1 misdemeanor. Well, how do you define import? I'm not importing. I'm transporting. I'm just coming back from Tennessee. I'm transporting. I'm not importing. The provisions of this section shall not apply to the manufacture, buy, transfer to, or possession by the Commonwealth or a department, agency, or political subdivision of the Commonwealth, the transfer to, or the possession by a law enforcement officer. See previous comments above. Employed by such an entity for the purpose of law enforcement, the possession by an individual who is retired from service with a law enforcement agency. Well, congratulations, sir. You get to have more freedom. And who is not otherwise prohibited from receiving ammunition transferred to the individual by a law enforcement agency upon his retirement of such firearms. What the heck does this have to do with anything? What does ammunition have to do with anything? Ammunition's not even mentioned up above. It's like they accidentally deleted the wrong words and just slapped happy slappy this thing together. So basically what this comes down to is pretty much anything that even looks like an assault weapon is banned. And if you have it, you're guilty of a felony if this passes. And let me tell you, when they mean felony, they mean we're going to put you in prison, felony, and we're going to probably have, oh, I don't know, let's go ahead and say you have five AR-15s. That's five felonies, friend. That's right, Patriot, five felonies. Well, you know what my attitude towards that is? If you're going to be a felon, you should be the best felon you can be. They don't mention what the statutory penalty would be. And what I mean is they don't tell you how much time you're going to do in jail. But what they're saying is we're going to take away your career because quite a few of you can't do the jobs you're doing if you have a criminal record. So you can kiss that goodbye. They're going to take away your family because you're going to go to jail. And they're probably going to send you to the other end of the state and your family won't get to come see you. But maybe once a month or every 2 months for years. And they're going to take away your wife because is she going to put up with that? I would hope. I think my wife would, but she's going to be none too happy. And, you know, then I get to miss out on the life of my boys growing up. And they get to see the tyranny of the state. Like I said, if you're going to be a felon, you should be the best felon that you can be. What do I mean by that? Well, there you go. That's what I was talking about earlier about self-censorship. Use your imagination to what I'm talking about. I mean, shoot, if I'm going to go to jail for this, what's to stop people from making suppressors? I mean, it's not like there's much to it, but a bunch of baffles in a tube. You can do some of this stuff. I've seen videos on YouTube of guys doing it on drill presses. They make adapters now, or you can hook up fuel filters and oil filters to these things and just screw them right on. Abracadabra, instant suppressor. Well, that's a felony. Well, gosh, I mean, why follow any of the laws? No, this is ridiculous. So this law is, what's absurd about this is what I'm about to tell you. So now I'm going to pop over to this other website here. This is California. This is California's assault weapons law. It was passed in 1999, enacted in 2000, effective January 1, 2000. Now, I moved here in 2008, so this is the garbage I had to put up with. I had an AR-15 in California. You know what I used to do? Drive out into the middle of nowhere in the country. Drive 45 minutes on bumpy gravel roads. Get out of my car. Kind of look around. Wonder if anybody's nearby. Listen really carefully to see if I heard anybody coming. Go maybe put a few milk jugs out. Dump a mag on those milk jugs. Throw my rifle back in the vehicle. Wrap it in some blankets and take off. Because I wasn't following any of these laws. So listen to this. Notwithstanding this section, assault weapons shall also mean any of the following. A semi-automatic centerfire rifle that has the capacity to accept a detachable magazine and any one of the following. Listen to these. Sound familiar? A pistol grip that protrudes conspicuously beneath the action of the weapon. That's word for word what's in Sasslaw's bill. A thumb hole stock. That too. A folding or telescoping stock. That too. Grenade launcher or flare launcher. That too. Flash suppressor. Yep. Forward pistol grip. Yep. A semi-automatic centerfire rifle that has a fixed magazine with a capacity to accept more than 10 rounds. A semi-automatic pistol that has a capacity to accept detachable magazines and any one of the following. A threaded barrel capable of accepting a flash suppressor, a forward hand grip, or silencer. Where else do we hear silencer instead of suppressor? This guy in Virginia. A second hand grip. A shroud that is attached to or partially or completely encircles the barrel that allows the bearer to fire a weapon without burning his or her hand except a slide that exposes the barrel. This is almost word for word what is in Sasslaw's bill. Thanks, California. The capacity to accept a detachable magazine at some location outside of the pistol grip. A semi-automatic pistol with a fixed magazine that has the capacity to accept more than 10 rounds. A semi-automatic shotgun that has the following. A folding or telescoping stock. A pistol grip that protrudes conspicuously beneath the action of the weapon. thumb holstock, vertical hand grip, a semi-automatic shotgun that has the ability to accept a detachable magazine. You've got to go to the show notes and look at the two of these. I will try and put them side by side. It is ridiculous. They are almost word for word. Unbelievable. And what has changed lately, friends? I'll tell you what's changed. Now, they're going to make an exception. They're going to tone it back a little. If you've got one of these things, okay. Well, we'll grandfather you. You can register it. Registration equals confiscation. Guaranteed. Registration led to confiscation by Adolf Hitler and his brown shirts. Registration led to confiscation in Soviet Russia. Registration has led to confiscation in Venezuela. Registration leads to confiscation everywhere it's done. Now, it hasn't happened in America yet, not in mass, but give it time. Give it time, because if the governor got his way, he would just call up the National Guard. Now, before I continue on with that line of thought, I would like to tell you that nowhere where they've passed these laws have they gone door to door and tried to confiscate yet. Believe me, they would love to do this. They just don't have the power to do it, the way to do it. They can't even round up millions of illegals. How are they going to round up hundreds of millions of guns? They depend on the willing, sheepish nature of stupid people who are willing to turn them in. They get a compliance rate of less than 5% in most states, some as low as 2%. So they're not, this is more like a get them one at a time thing, though. You're driving down the road. Oh, no, I'm being pulled over. Pull over. Hi. You have anything in your car? Mind if I search your vehicle? Well, gee, I have nothing to hide. Sure. And I don't get this one. You watch live PD ever, and you watch this stuff, and these people always say yes. And they've got the craziest pile of drugs and junk in their car, or all kinds of other illegal stuff. What, do you think these police officers are dumb? That they're not going to find this stuff? That's their job. It's their job to find this stuff. They trained them how to find this stuff. Of course they're going to find this stuff. Never, ever, ever consent to a search. Never. Just don't consent to a search. If they had probable cause, they wouldn't need to ask you. Well, I can go get a warrant. Well, go ahead, get a warrant. I don't care what a hurry you're in. You should never let anyone search your vehicle. Never consent. And never talk. That's a whole show right there. Plenty of stuff been done about that. Anything you say can and will be used against you. It can't be used for you, ever. Don't talk. Don't consent. But that's how they're going to get people, one at a time. And that's the danger of these things. Perfectly normal, law-abiding activity, law-abiding person going to jail, going to prison because of a hunk of metal that he had in his trunk, because he had nothing to hide. And quite often, I'll bet that it's just ignorance. This guy, he's had this thing for 10 years, totally oblivious. He's watching the Cowboys game, doesn't know what's going on. Hey, I don't know what depravity is going on in my society. It's all about the football, baby. And then before you know it, he's getting pulled over. Now he's going to prison. Garbage. And this is where jury nullification comes into play. You need to learn about that. You need to learn about jury nullification. This junk starts happening, we need to start educating people about that. But let's go back to the door-to-door thing. Let's say they want to call up the National Guard. Now, I've mentioned this before in several different places. I know more than 20 guys that are in the Guard, currently serving in the Guard. Not a one, and I mean it, not a one of the ones I know would show up for this duty. Now they have what's called a muster. Say, we're having everybody needs to show up and we're going to do this. Of those that would show up, probably 50% still wouldn't do it. So it's not practical. It's just not practical. And there are steps that we could take. And if we had an active militia operating here in Virginia, there are things that we could do to stop this. If they did do this. So this is one of the proposals that a Democrat, was it McEachin? It was a Virginia Democrat recently said, hey, well, we'll just get the governor to call on the National Guard. You know, take these guns. Here's the comedy of this whole thing. Here's where this is quite interesting. They have said, we're not trying to take your guns. And now they're passing laws that say we're going to take your guns. They say, we're not being tyrannical. You don't need to be passing these resolutions. Guns are not about tyranny, fighting tyranny. It's all about hunting and self-defense, man. It's cool. Don't worry about it. All the while advocating for tyranny. Way to go. And please, Democrats, please keep it up. Hey, you commie rats, please keep it up. Keep pushing, please. This keeps just getting better. We win either way. So please keep pushing. If they back down, hey guys, we win. If they keep pushing, then they push too far and we finally start fighting back. And we win. But either way, we win. The reality is they're either a paper tiger and they're not going to do anything, or they are and they've made our point for us. So we win either way. This is great. So keep fighting against it. I'm not saying I want to see these laws passed, but there's some other interesting, you know, stuff in the works. Back to this California thing real quick. Oh, there was a court case. So all you saying, well, we're going to fight it in the courts. Well, this is a court case. This court decision called Kessler v. Lockyer, the California Supreme Court, decision upholds the constitutionality of the Assault Weapons Control Act of 1989. As a result, DOJ is obligated to enforce the statute with respect to identification of Class 3 assault weapons, AK and AR-15 series weapons. These assault weapons are listed in the California Code, which is kind of the stuff I was just reading. I wanted to share that with you because I keep hearing this talk, well, we're going to fight it in the courts. And I keep responding back with, those courts? Or would it be the courts that redistricted Virginia so that it turned it blue? Those courts? How about the Supreme Court, which upheld the individual right to the Second Amendment, that it was an individual right, but we're not going to actually make the states do anything. Washington, D.C. continues to, and that's what D.C. v. Heller, that decision, they continue to say, well, we don't care what you say. This one is another Richard Saslaw. You know, I think of coleslaw when I hear Saslaw. I can't help it. Trigger Act, I hate coleslaw. Sorry, if you like it, I hate it. And so I hate Richard Saslaw and I hate coleslaw. This one's SB 14. It says trigger activators, prohibition penalty, prohibits the manufacture, importation, sale, or offer to sell. Possession, transfer, transportation of a trigger activator, defined in the bill as a device designed to be attached to a semi-automatic firearm, which allows the firearm to discharge two or more shots in a burst by activating the device, including a bump fire device or a binary trigger, but does not convert the semi-automatic firearm into a machine gun or manual or power-driven trigger activating device designed so that when attached to a semi-automatic firearm, it increases the rate of fire of that firearm, including a trigger crank, but does not convert the semi-automatic firearm into a machine gun. It's a Class 6 felony. I don't know a lot of people. These are more like toys. I mean, I think, well, of course, no compromise. So, yay. No, we're not going to put up with this bill. But I just want to say, fully automatic fire serves a suppressive role if you're advancing on an enemy or retreating from, and you need to suppress them so that you can get to or get away, so that you can flank them. It serves a purpose. It is not something you would want to just be, you're just going to be dumping rounds. So anyway, that's what this is, Class 6 felony. It's another thing written by a 5-year-old. It's absurd. I haven't dug into this one. but I'll bet that there's one matching it in California. Now, the bumpfire stock was already unconstitutionally made not allowed under ATF rules. So I don't know what the purpose of this is, because technically it's already a violation of federal rules. But whatever. Another bad bill that we should be fighting, SB 14. So 1416, Richard Coleslaw, Saslaw, definitely should be fighting against these. So once again, I'd like to mention Lobby Day, which is January 20th. If you have not already taken that day off and said, I'm not coming to work that day, fire me if you have to. I'm not going to be here on that day. You need to be up in Richmond on January 20th. If we can get 10, 20, 30,000 people up there, it will shut Richmond down. If you're not already getting the alerts, VCDL alerts, you need to go on VCDL's website, vcdl.org, and sign up for the alerts. It's a great updated daily dose of any important stuff that's happening on a daily basis. You'll be getting emails. Great. They do an amazing job. But you need to be up there. And I'm going to talk more in a future episode, specifics. I'm going to go through what the Richmond laws are, because there are some laws that the state of Virginia gave Richmond the ability to have in specific to open carry of a rifle, which is what I'll be doing. And some of those involve your magazine limits and some other things. So you just need to be aware of those so you don't get jammed up when you're up there. And I'm going to be talking about that. But January 20th, you need to be in Richmond, whether you go up the night before, spend the night, whether you go up the morning of super early, that's your call. But you need to be up there in Richmond and plan to stay the day. There's a lot of cool places up near Richmond. There's a place called Green Top. If you've never been to Green Top, you should go. Pretty cool store. A lot of neat stuff there. But you should definitely plan on going. Well, that's it for this show. Thank you for listening. If I'm able to, granted it's almost Christmas, so if you don't hear from me again, I will say Merry Christmas to you. So friends, come back next week. I'm trying to put a show together. I love history. I'm trying to put a show together on Valley Forge and what the Patriots, freezing in the cold, were going through. And just to be a little bit of history, a little bit of encouragement. Now it's cold outside. Go get yourself some merino wool and enjoy the time with your family this Christmas. It's something that just, it only comes so rare. Such a rare opportunity to get with your family. God bless you. God bless Virginia. This is Hank Reardon. Thank you for listening.